karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastma vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
And in Siberia near Yakutsk they have some minus 53. So that also should make you feel warmer. What's the maximum they have in Yakutsk?
Over 60.
I saw one video from one of these places. It was the north tip of Norway where they took a pot of boiling water and threw into the air, and when it landed, it was ice.
Really?
Actually, before it started falling, it was snow already. It was full boiling water up in the air, and then it's like, poof, it's just snow.
So fast.
Yeah. So fast.
When you breathe there, when you do a mute, not steam coming out of your mouth, it's snowing. But they cannot do this for long because your teeth get cracked.
Yeah. We have to cover everything, no?
Even the ice can freeze. Yeah, they have glasses.
And how do you breathe?
You cannot walk around. You can be within the vehicle or run into the house and run into the vehicle. You cannot just walk around.
What if the vehicle freezes?
There is some special vehicles like working or excavators like that, mm-hmm. So they never stop, they always run. And when it's especially cold for the night, they make fire under the vehicle to get engine warm up. But if it stops, then it stops till spring. And you cannot start it.
The whole oil and everything freezes, eh?
Yeah, it
makes you wonder why people are there in the first place.
Yeah.
How can excavate anyway in minus 60?
Yeah.
You can actually excavate the liquid petroleum gas, like. But the gas probably liquefies in the temperature, so they can just put it in the bottles.
No. So now we feel warm.
Yes. Okay, so we did the first two. Any questions?
I have a comment.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday I was talking about the association of devotees and Krishna will arrange association. So I was walking down to the Baba yesterday, and then suddenly someone said, "Hari Bol Klaus," and it was two brahmacharis from Bhaktivedanta Manual. And they're very nice and very fixed up, the stuff from brahmacharis. So.
Yeah. Good, yeah. Very good.
So that's it. That's quite
funny. Okay, so how important is service to the devotees? In the Padma Purana, there is a nice statement praising the service of the Vaishnavas or devotees. In that scripture, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, "My dear Parvati, there are different methods of worship, and out of all such methods, the worship of the Supreme Person is considered to be the highest. But even higher than the worship of the Lord is the worship of the Lord's devotees." In the Adi Purana, there is the following statement by Lord Krishna himself addressed to Arjuna. "My dear Partha, One who claims to be a devotee is not so. Only a person who claims to be the devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. In fact, serving the devotees means engaging oneself in the six kind of loving exchanges between devotees. Dharati prati grihnati. These increase our taste for further devotional service. Here we have it nicely. No, Vaishnava Prabhupada mentioned. That's what it is. Association is important, but we need to know what association is. As we discussed yesterday, we need to know when we can take association, when we can give association, and what's the method, how it's being done. So knowing that, then we can actually take advantage of both. And then we can progress. Then we can actually appreciate the association of devotees, and we can appreciate any devotee's association. Now, we may not like the devotee just how he cooks, but we still can associate with him and be very happy in his association when he sings. I don't know, you mentioned the story about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. Was that devotee cook? He passed away. You didn't hear it? There was a devotee. It was cooking, for the Gaudiya Math. He passed away. And the devotees didn't like him much. So when he passed away, everybody had something to say about him. Anyway, he wasn't good cook. Anyway, this, anyway, that. He was grumpy. He was this, he was that. And just talking like this. So the servant of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, he came to tell him, and he was upstairs, like how the Chaitanya Math is. So he was upstairs there in his quarters, and then he told him, and then as he heard it, so he just came down the stairs, and from the stairs he just where devotees are gossiping there and not talking. He said, but he always was wearing clean clothes and went upstairs. Everybody quiet, everybody just, nobody ever said anything else wrong about the devotee. So that's an example of Vaishnava, it's an example of elevated Vaishnava. That's how we should be dealing with it, because we can always find good quality on any person. It's a question of we are looking for the quality or not. So we can appreciate anybody for their good qualities. And if there are we see also the bad qualities, well, we may not consider it, and we may not associate with those devotees or those people for the matter, just for those qualities. We have to be able to take the good from the person, because also by associating with the person for the good, what he has to offer, we benefit, he also benefits. Because this is what we draw from the person, this is what he has to offer, that's what he develops, and he will get taste for that good side. So we help ourselves, we also help him. So that's association. And how to associate? As Śrīla Prabhupāda said, dharati prati grihnāti, guhim akhyāti pṛcchāti. So those are the loving exchanges, and then by those then we can appreciate anybody, like father of Śrīla Prabhupāda. And when it was time for lunch, then he would just come out of the house, and then he would just call, whoever is hungry, come for prasad, 3 times every day. Sometimes nobody, sometimes few Brahmas would come, sometimes some pilgrims would come, and then he would feed them. So this is a duty of a Grihastha, and that's actually the way how Vaishnava deals. So it's not just the Vaishnava, it's a Grihastha. But he takes advantage and he invites the devotees to take advantage of their association. But if we are not into it because he looks ugly, or no, he talks like this, or he's disciple of that one, and or this, then we may not be able to really take association properly. Of course, if it's somebody who has not the right attitude or not the right philosophy, then we have to be very careful not to take his association, but we can give our association. So that's why we have to discriminate. We have to know what is the right thing to do. And definitely we should avoid criticizing. Even if we can recognize somebody's not good quality, it doesn't mean that we are, just because we saw it, that now we are qualified for spreading it around. Yes?
But at the same time, we hear that we shouldn't accept anyone blaspheming the devotees of the Lord. So if we shout anybody hungry and some Mayavadi comes and starts preaching, how to deal with that without criticizing, or is it then okay to criticize, or how?
You see, first of all, if he just generally would come for prasad when he's invited, it's somebody who's hungry. So you can even feed Mayavadi.
Yes.
Now, if he starts to talk in philosophy, you don't have to talk to him unless you can refute his arguments. You can just, I don't agree with that. No, if you cannot, then okay, I don't agree with it, please. No. Enjoy prasad, and then try to do the atmosphere such a way so then he is happy eating prasad. See, like Durvasa Muni, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just wanted to really. Well, it wasn't him; it was Duryodhana who wanted to make Pandavas suffer. So he sent Durvasa with his 10,000 disciples. At the time when he knew that they have nothing to offer, but Krishna is very clever. So you know what's going to happen, or you may expect, but he's a guest. And then the guests also know how to behave, because they are cultured. Even the beggars, maybe not at this time, but before, they would also know very well how to behave. They would eat and talk. If you start the conversation and the other person likes it, then you can go on. But if the person doesn't like it, so then you just stick to, what's your business? Now, if such a person starts to offend, criticize, this is against the culture, you have all rights to send the person away.
Mm.
You may just beg his prashad and just please go, you can't be here in my house, you are an offender.
Mm.
There are always ways how to, even dispatch such a person. But in general, it wouldn't happen. Because those who are looking for offending, criticizing, they wouldn't accept an invitation for lunch. That's an etiquette.
It would be very uncultured to accept prasad from someone.
Yeah. And even those offenders, they are very cultured their own way. And they know that if they start to argue heavily argue and being in anxiety and like that during eating, they get the disadvantage. They cannot digest. They will get sick. Before people knew that, so they wouldn't talk any heavy subject during eating. Anyway, many things we have to still learn. How how should we utilize our position? In the Padma Purana, there is a statement that one should perform the ceremonies for the Lord according to one's financial position. Everyone should observe the different ceremonies and celebrations of the Lord by all means. That means that somebody who is more well-to-do, then they can perform greater ceremonies. They can get, cook feast for hundreds, maybe thousands of devotees, and arrange pandal program, and do everything. The festivities in big, celebration. And somebody who is little, then they may celebrate just themselves or with the family, in the house, just go collect some flowers and just decorate the altar, and maybe cook one preparation, maybe some. Even khichdi, it's considered as a feast preparation. So even that offered to the Lord, and then the person can be fully satisfied because he satisfied the Lord. But if a person who has plenty of money doesn't know what to do with them, and then he just offers something inferior to the people, not thinking that he is doing a great charitable activity, then he is not. He is not pleasing really the people. He definitely not pleasing the Lord, because he is not performing the service of a devotee to the devotee. So it's pointless. A person who is who has crores of rupees and comes and offers 10 rupees in the pranami box, in the temple,
is that
just
more an offense than not giving anything?
It is. Yeah, it is an offense. It's not taken nicely. It's taken very badly. But if a beggar comes and offers 50 paisa there, then it's considered as a great sacrifice. Once, when I got initiation, so I also went outside for begging. Because that's a tradition. You go, beg, and whatever you get, then you give to the guru. So then I was begging, basically from anybody, and even beggar, I got 50 paisa from a beggar. It's really amazing, just how. You can say it's just 50 paisa, so what? Somebody may get 500 or something. But the 50 paisa is special. Because it's a person who has nothing, but he's sharing that nothing with you. Like Plava Chashidar, you may say, he's just doing leaf cups, and he gets just a few paisa a day. I can have few paisa in a second. I can make so much. Who cares for that? That's not the point. He gets his few paisa, but this few paisa he divides. 50% of the profit which he makes goes for Krishna, no matter what. 25 he leaves it, and 25 he uses for the daily activities. And he is very strict, and because of that, so he is very powerful. Nowadays, you see, why actually Indian people became very powerful in the West, in England. Now then, the Indians, they would go there, and they start working. Now, when they work, so then they may live in one apartment, like 10, 20 people. And one lady would cook for everybody, and it's simple, just some khichdi every day. And they just go work safe. They wouldn't spend for any iPod or anything. They would not go by taxi. They would go either by walk or by the public transport. They would save everything, every single paisa what they could. And when they have saved enough, then they will buy a business. And then from that, they make more money. Now, once they have the business they want, once they have the profit they want, once they have the money they are looking for, then they will buy a car, they will buy a new house. But until then, they will be cramped, you know, in the apartment with another 20 people just living, you may say, in very austere conditions. But to them, it's not a problem because they have vision. So they will not spend whatever they get, no. They will save it. But this is exactly what the Western economy does not want people to do. Because of those people, then the economy cannot run the way how they expect it to run. Whatever you make, spend immediately. And not that. Take credit. Spend first, then work for it. You will give more. Sense gratification allows you to do that, because when you know that you can gratify your senses now, why would you wait for later? So buy this and pay more. So it's a nice idea for the people how to get screwed up. And they don't know it. So this is something which is it's amazing. Actually, if you look at it, this is a very amazing thing. The people are getting exploited and they are happy about it. It's one of the most amazing things actually which is there. They may little talk about it and being grumpy, but ultimately they don't want change. And that everything looks just like perfect. Money are being created from thin air, and everybody has enough as long as whatever you make, you spend. So don't save anything. In the US, at some point, it was illegal to keep gold in the house. Nowadays, nobody really cares for gold because gold doesn't work anymore as a reference to the currency. The banks, they can create basically any amount of money they want. And nobody stops them. Money is just, you write it on the paper, this is your loan, this is your credit, but there is no money which you are getting, that's just on the paper. And this is getting more and more blown up, but at one point it pops. And then it's going to be disaster. When Hitler, before Second World War, was printing money because he wanted to buy all this iron, the steel for his weapons. So he secretly started to bring Deutschmarks. And then when he bought whatever he needed, then of course it came to be known that there are too many Deutschmarks around. So then it started devaluation. And then before, bread would cost few pfennigs. But then after some time to go and buy bread, you have to get bags of money to exchange it for one bread. Then they started to, not printing new money, it's too costly. So they would just stamp on the money, stamp that it's like, instead of 10 Deutschmarks, it was like 10 billion Deutschmarks. My father, he has one stamp, whole stamp. It was a 5 billion Deutschmark. Something like that. This is the result.
Didn't the same happen in Russia in the 90s?
It wasn't so bad.
It wasn't so bad.
I don't think so. The ruble didn't devaluate so much. No. In Poland it was also happening, but then in Poland they cut two zeros, I think. They made new money, and then instead of 100 zloty, it was 1 zloty.
Oh.
So then, and they are keeping it, you know, since then, so it's not that bad.
Mm.
But, no, Hitler, no, he wasn't working on little, no, he really printed money. And from what I heard, that during Obama's first few months in the office, he made printed out more dollars than Clinton and Bush together during their time. So if that's true, so then there are plenty of dollars running around. But then how long will the value be kept? As long as people trust and spend. But the dollar is not going up, it's going down now. People don't want to spend. So it's a very pity situation. They are trying whatever they can. But then how long they can hold it? It's all artificial. It's not natural. Before, there was always something for the currency which has a value. So the value was always checked by that material. Would it be shells or some copper, brass, silver, gold, something which is value, and that was the currency. When they made the paper, then the idea came that actually you don't have to even show how much you have. You can make multiple times more than you have actually to cover with. And nobody's going to check until the people lose trust. But the banks and the governments work very closely together in such a way so then the people do not lose the trust. And even if they don't do, then they don't have the way how to actually check if something is there until the bank says, well, we don't have any money, we are bankrupt, so sorry, you don't get anything back. And that's it. And then after that, they can do whatever they want to do, but they don't really get anything out of it. It's very, very sad. Yeah.
Good preaching opportunities.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Take your money out of the bank and then give it for the preaching before it's late.
Lots of beautiful topics.
Yeah.
The currency will be fixed on one day.
Yeah.
And invest the money in something that has value, like gold and property and food.
But then how many people actually think like that? How many people actually see that something is coming? Most of the people are still in illusion that it's nothing. It cannot happen. The government will support it. The government will do something. Most of the people have that idea that it cannot happen. No. Like I know my grandmother once there was some article to buy, and then she wanted to get that, and then I argue like, don't get it, this is nonsense, it's cheating. She said, it cannot be cheating, they said it on TV. But it's a fact. The media is so powerful. And especially for the older generation. I mean, if you say something or see something on TV, it means this is truth. You cannot lie on TV.
My mom thinks that the commercials are good because she likes to get some information about what she's buying.
Yeah. But she gets commercials. The commercials are information about the items which you don't need. Well, because what you need, you don't need commercial about. You need rice, and there is no rice advertisement, unless it's some specific which doesn't sell, right? No, you don't need about vegetables. Oh, we have the best kumra, no, please no, come and visit our nice carrots. No, no, you don't have that. You know you need it, you go and buy it. But then you need to buy our utensils. Those are the best, no, because they are highly polished. No. Cock, right? No, who needs cock? Oh, they need it for cleaning the ships. They need cock. Yeah, when the ships for many years they go and the corals get all, so they use the extract of cock to actually remove the coral. So they need that fork. But no, as for humans, then no, what's the need for? So they have to spend. They spend more than 50% of their revenue, means their profit, on advertisement. It goes into billions. More than 50% of your profit, not just whatever in turn, no, how do you call it? Turnover. Mm. So not turnover. It's a profit which actually, now you, after you subtract your investments and everything, so the profit, half of it goes for advertising. This is incredible. Well, that's what they need to do, because people will not buy otherwise. Why would they buy that? And they are successful because there are the people in America. I heard that there are many who drink daily, like half a gallon. Some drink a gallon of Coke daily. I mean, it's a good intake of liquids. So, no.
How much but is a gallon?
It's over 4 liters, more than 4 liters. 4.5 liters is 1 gallon.
A day.
It's so much of sugar. No, they don't drink anything else, and they just drink the Coke and then eat hamburger and the potato chips.
The Coke itself dissolves meat.
Yes.
How they can?
I don't know. I really don't know how. This maybe they become tough, you know, something.
I was making computer games some years back, and I knew some of these people. And actually, two of my coworkers, they got heart problems before they were 30, and one of them is dead today. And so, and a lot of the others, they have severe problems. And
it doesn't give anything. You get the sugar.
Mm.
Which so then the calories are there, so but that goes into the fat, and I don't know the cocaine, no coffee. Sorry, it's
no,
a caffeine. It's a caffeine. That's inside, right? So then that gives you high, and I don't know, there are so many other things, but it just keeps you. Sort of alive, but actually, no, you are not. Even beer is much more beneficial. But it's unfortunate how people actually are ruining their health and just being exploited. And they are happy about it. That's really the far out things. Most amazing thing. I saw there was one interview with a lady. She was something like, I don't know, 280 kilograms.
Mm-hmm.
And she, no, her, she could not walk alone already. She had some arrangement, and then she would eat so much every day, and then they asked her, you have to stop, you have to not drop, otherwise the doctor said, no, within a year you will be dead. And he said, no, I'm healthy, he's wrong. And in fact, no, I want to become the heaviest lady in the world. So they don't even feel that they are actually getting exploited, getting sick, they are dying. They are even happy about it.
Becomes their identity.
It's amazing. The illusion in which the condition living being is, and how even they enjoy the illusion, and even you give them a solution, they still prefer the illusion. Like Indra being a pig, he just didn't want to become Indra again, even though it's so much more opportunity for sense gratification, and still he was so much engrossed being in the pig body that he could not think out of the sphere. That's amazing. Yes.
And they're actually quite intelligent in these advertisement agencies, because on a material platform the happiness is a removal of a need, and they're just continually creating these needs, and they're creating more and more needs, and so the happiness is like the pearls on a string, and the more these removal of needs that you have, the more you feel you're happy. So
oh yeah, they are. Out of the universities, all the the postgraduate students, the psychology and everything. Now, whom you see working and doing practice as a psychologist, those are not the best ones. Where are the best ones? They are working for corporations, working on advertisements. That's it. So of course they are very intelligent, because they are the most intelligent of that sort, because they get the most money. I mean, see, the co gives 50% of their profit, which goes into billions of dollars a year. Now, if they can afford paying 5-10 people 2-3 millions a year just to make good ads, for them it's nothing. It's a money. You invest few millions and you get billions for it. Why not? So it's the Vaishya mentality. But because there is no leader to stop them, so that they cannot exploit the people, so then they will go beyond their limits until somebody stops them. So they are very intelligent in one sense, but they are very stupid in the other sense.
Who stopped them? That's the point, because they took over the political system as well. That the advertisements is based on psychology. It's based on PR that was developed by Freud's nephew, Bannon. And they developed that, during the due course of time. And what they call spin now is based on advertisement. So they have been taking over the political system as well. So nobody can stop them because they are controlling the political system.
You will see. Look, if it's, Krishna has everything under control. And the signs are there. Little volcano starts, some gas, some ashes coming out. The whole Europe cannot fly. Now, you get, in the beginning of December, then you get some, minus 10 degrees, minus 20 degrees. The whole Europe cannot fly. So what's the point of advertising, that, okay, you can fly cheap with us, this and that. Well, we cannot fly, we are sorry, because it's snowing. Right? So, there, Australia, it's flooded. There is an area flooded which is bigger than France and Germany altogether. It's just raining. It wasn't there before. We didn't have calamities like that, and one after another, and constantly. Why is it there? Anybody ask this question?
Rain.
Oh, it's just, it happens. Yeah. It will go away. It's true. It will go away. But what will be the next? So Krishna has the means to correct those who need it. And if we cannot do it ourselves, Krishna will help. It may not be the nicest way, kind of like how it can be done, but the reactions will be there for the activities which we perform. And there is no doubt. It may come later, may not come right now, but the time will be there. So when the time comes, then we will be responsible what actions we did, and do we deserve this reaction or something else. So we have to be able to answer our own activities, what we did. Because a thief cannot argue, not at the trial, that, well, he also was stealing. That will not give him the freedom. Okay, he was also stealing. We'll also catch him. But now you are here because you were stealing. And then here it is. You go 10 years to jail. So we are responsible for our actions, now, whether we know what we are doing or not. There is a saying, no, that the ignorance doesn't that they are ignorant, then you are not going to be forgiven. Is there anything like that? I'm saying. Anyway, but yeah, that is the point, that just because you say you didn't know, that doesn't mean that the law doesn't apply to you. You should have known it. You go to a country, like if you go from Paris over the tunnel in the car to England, and you drive on the other side of the road and you make an accident. Oh, sorry, I didn't know. I came actually from other part of Europe, so did I destroy the car? Well, no, what to do? I didn't know. No, you are going to pay the fine and you go maybe to jail. And no matter what, if you are coming here, you are supposed to know the law. So, if you didn't know, you're bad. Nobody would bother. The same is over here. We are here, and the laws of nature apply to us whether we want or don't. But if we educate ourselves about what this is about, we can also educate ourselves how to deal with the material nature, so then the reactions can be positive. And we can educate ourselves how to transcend this material nature, what actually is the cause of the material nature, and see Krishna as the cause of everything, and then this is the real education.
Approach, to talk about these things, so they will
see that actually security in this material lifestyle is not there.
See, you can, if you know something about it, you can use it for preaching, you can use it as an information. You may use that knowing that this bank is on the edge of bankrupt and you have money in it, so then you just say, oh, Krishna will arrange that, I won't lose them. No, you just go and withdraw the money as soon as you can, right? Because you use your intelligence. But that's about it. You don't have to do anything extra, or you don't have to speculate, and you don't have to do something which affects your devotional service. So you don't take it as a crusade that, now I will go and shoot all the people kind of like who are responsible for that. You will get reaction for that. That's not your duty. So you mind your own business, and your business should be devotional. Devotional service. So by example, you can preach to the people, you can show them what to do. So, creating farms and living a simple life, so then showing that we don't need all this so-called sophisticated environment which the people are, which is created for the people to be exploited. We can live without it. And in fact, actually, we can be more happy without it. So that becomes when we can preach by our own example. So then we have to take it seriously. We have to do it such a way so then we can show people what to do. But again, we have to be educated to do that. Not just doing something, not knowing what we are doing. Many people will ask because they are intelligent and they want to know, why are you doing things this way? Why are you chanting the holy name? Why are you doing agriculture? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And I don't know. Okay, this one says. Well, it may be okay if you really are dedicated and you follow some senior Vaishnava, so it may be okay, but people will not really take it very seriously. So you should, even if you follow some senior Vaishnava, you should also know why is he doing it and why are you doing it this way. Otherwise, it just becomes blind following. And see, because of blind following, so you see the Hindus are really going down. The last generation, they still were doing their own Lakshmi Puja or Ganesh Puja to get money, right? Or remove obstacles or not. But they didn't know why they are doing it. It was only the reason. So when the children asked the parents, why are you doing this? I don't know. So the children said, are you stupid? Why are you doing things which you don't know why you are doing them? I'm not going to do it. I can make money out myself. I don't need to worship some idol. So then they went to England and to America to study, and they became purely karmis, meat eaters, cow eaters. Same generation. Gujaratis, Marwaris, those one of the most strict communities in India. Last generation, this generation, they are the most spoiled. They eat cows. So that fast it goes. In one generation. So, what can you do about that? Yes.
Can you say that that's somehow some kind of global karma or something? Like, when a whole generation just descends? I am around how that can happen.
Well, you see, it's very easy to not put something like on like term of like a global karma or like that. But even if there is a karma, say of the country or of the state, no. But it still depends on the individual how they deal with it. So, no, India is going through the tough times, but it's because of the previous leaders. But again, just to blame the previous leaders, oh, I cannot do anything because no, it was because of them. So the whole life I can just go on and no, keep, oh, he was bad and he is bad and this one is bad and this, that is that. And then because of that, I am in such a mess. But that also makes me, I don't have to do anything, no. Because I have a reason. No? It was his fault, not mine. So I feel good actually because I have no things to point my finger at others that it's their fault, not my fault. But I'm so lazy to do something about to get out of the mess. Srila Prabhupada gave us a way how we can conquer the whole world. By cultural revolution. That's the only way. Because India had the culture, they are losing the culture, you know, by accepting no, the so-called culture from the countries which have no culture. It's just based on sense gratification. So they are losing the culture. So then to reintroduce what the Indians have, that's the way how we can show them that they don't have to look, you know, at some other countries, some nations, which they don't know what is right to do. See, the Bengali boys, they all learn how to serve at home. They know how to serve prasad very nicely. When they come to ISKCON, so they serve terrible. Why is that? Because they think that what they learn at home is Maya. So they have to do something different. So they don't know that what they learn is actually the right thing and to apply it. So you have to tell them. You have to teach them. And then once they know that actually what they know, it's the right thing, then they will apply it. That's the culture. The Indians, when they now are becoming westernized, they become worse than westerners. Because they want to show how good they are. Now, you have a fashion in America, and people will use the fashion like discreetly. No, they have their own no sense of how they use it, what for. But the Indians kind of like it, just they use it without any discrimination. Oh, this is a fashion today. So no, today is jeans. So take jeans everywhere, and you can take jeans to no, like formal situation or anywhere else. No, because it's a fashion now, you don't know. So they take it, no, just, no, that way. But they don't know actually what it is and how to use it. So they become worse than, no, the Westerners themselves. It's a very, very sad situation. Yes?
Can you also say that one of the reasons why they're giving up their culture is because they were just following religion without philosophy?
Well, yes. You see, somehow the previous generation, they still followed even though they didn't know why. No. But then when they followed the ritual, without the philosophy, so then they don't know how to explain it. So then the next generation asked, you know, that their parents kind of like, okay, why are you following him? So, well, it's just a ritual, it's puja. But why should I do the puja? What is the reason behind? They don't explain, so then I'm not stupid to follow this. It's natural. That's why education must be there. We have to be able to explain to the people, to our own devotees, why we follow, why we do things. If we do the, you know, following the you know, ritual without philosophy, it's pointless, it's useless. We have to have both. That's the culture. That's happening because they don't know the principle behind. They don't know, at the first point, they don't know just why they are actually supposed to do it. I know one temple, and the temple president would not allow devotees to study. Instead of study, why don't you distribute books and make more money for the temple? That's the mentality. It's because he is not educated and he doesn't really want anybody else to be, because then you'll become smarter than him. And it's not really bad to have, you know, somebody who is depending on you smarter than you, then no, then you should really feel insecure. But on the other side, there are some, no, which they spend hours a day, no, to educate the devotees, to have programs for them, to, no, various Prabhupada's books and everything, no, create courses, no, and teach them. Because they've considered that as a value. Yeah. Okay. So, and here.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare